Good morning. We want to welcome all of you today. We are so glad that you're here on this third Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome all of you that we've come together and gathered to worship the Lord through our songs and singing and praising and our prayers and then opening our hands to receive from God whatever God may want to do in our lives and give us that grace and strength that we need. So we're so glad that you're all here today as we welcome you. And a little bit later on, we're gonna be asking that question, and it happens to be the title of my sermon, What Do You See? And so we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria as we begin this morning.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Let us give thanks to God with our whole hearts.
We give thanks for God's steadfast love.
Let us call upon God to increase our strength.
In the midst of troubling times, God reaches out to us.
Let us worship God, trusting in God's goodness. Well, let's do that this morning, and you can turn in your hymn book if you like. Hymn number 73, This Is My Father's World, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. So we're singing the three verses.
This is my Father's world, and to fancies his hand of wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds and carols ring. The morning light, the willing white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling breath, I hear him rest. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Well, let's open or join together for our opening prayer there in the bulletin. God of all creation, we marvel at all the detail and grandeur you call into being. From the depths of the sea to the tops of the mountains, you tend the fragile beauty and balance in the world. Open our eyes to see your purposes for each of us. Awaken us with insights from your Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to be turning to 354 next. His eye is on the sparrow. And we're only going to be seeing verses 1 and 2 this morning.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I say, because I'm happy. I say, because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your hearts be troubled. His tender word my doubts and fears, though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow.
Invite our kids if they would make their way down this morning.
Yes.
And so even when we're young, we can sometimes hurt ourselves. You know, if you've ever gotten cuts and bled before, you know how easy that is. But guess what? God loves us so much and takes care of us that God puts Jesus in us, who represents God's glory. So wherever we go, whatever we face, whether it's something scary or something challenging, or we're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can. Because remember, Jesus is always with you. And not only is Jesus with you, but Jesus is in you. And God's presence is in you. And he can help you to have faith to go through anything you face in life. Okay? All right. You are downstairs this morning. As they are heading down, we're going to go ahead and join together there for our time of prayer and give you a chance to share your joys and concerns. And so we're going to begin. So who would like to start this morning? Yes.
Yeah, we have a joy. Our family is very thankful for all the thoughts and prayers from this community and for the volunteers that helped out with the luncheon after the funeral. Gary, with his dad, and for Pastor Jason, of course, for your service in the council.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes. And it was a special time celebrating his life and remembering and hearing the story. So, and thank you to all of you. I'll reiterate it. Thank you to everybody that made things and helped serve downstairs. We appreciate that so much. So, yeah. Somebody else this morning, joy or concern. You know, I heard that, or I read that online, and I was like, well, there used to be organizations that headed that up all the time for, I'm curious what happened there and everything, but yes, definitely don't have a problem with praying for our nation, and somebody else? Yes. All the horses and everything?
All the horses, yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I saw that on Facebook that she shared, that Brooke did, and I was trying to figure out where this Brant farm was. And
Allglaze?
Ah, okay. That could be. Wow, man. That is very sad, because a lot of times you hope they get the horses out of there, but if they lost, wow. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying some of that, and
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely want to remember those family farms, and wow, that's just devastating, and definitely. So a couple other hands, yep. Okay.
It's the Schmeezing family.
Schmeezing? Okay. Definitely want to remember that family, the Schmeezing family, in our prayers this morning. I know there were some of those families up in the area that I grew up in, and I saw several other hands go up. Yep. Okay. Anybody else? Yep.
Unspoken.
Unspoken.
Yep.
Somebody else this morning. Anybody else? I'm going to ask for prayers for a friend of mine. Well, two of them. One is my cousin Steve, who has some health concerns, health issues going on there. He's in the hospital. He was in the Air Force for, I think, most of his life. I appreciate your prayers. He's one of my older cousins. And then some of you know, or a few of you may know, Pastor Jim Oates from Sydney. He had open heart surgery on Friday, which I had no idea there was anything going on. But he had triple bypass and everything went well. But that's a lot of recovery and everything. And I'm sure the pain, because I remember my dad going through that, the pain involved there. So appreciate your prayers for him. Anybody else this morning? Yes. Yes. No, it's a very helpless feeling when you go through that. Yeah. So we want to remember Chris as he's recovering from surgery. And then also that sometimes depression does set in with that and everything. So definitely want to hold him up. Anybody else then this morning? Well, several. Okay. Yeah, somebody else was telling me about that they were heading back and finishing up their last day today, I think, and then they'll be flying back. So, and speaking of just that, we have several that I know of that are not here today that are traveling. And so we definitely want to remember those that are off, some on vacation, and as it's that time of year. And I saw another hand, yeah. Okay, we want to remember Steve and for the surgery. Yes, definitely want to keep him in our
procedure, not really in
surgery. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. I thought I saw another hand. Okay. Okay, wow.
They operate on him June 14th. They're going to take him then.
Okay. Well, we definitely want to lift him up in prayer. We're thankful that there is some recovery going on, but he's going to have surgery. Okay. To remove that stent. I'm assuming that's in the kidney.
Yeah.
So, and then I saw another hand. Yep. Okay, so we want to remember the Robbins, is that Robbins family? Yeah, as they are going to be traveling, and some of our others. So, anybody else? Lots. I thought it was going to start off with just a few, and then it just kept growing there, and that's all right. That's part of our ministry and what we do, and lifting up all of those. So there's a lot of different ones that have listed, and if you remember some of those names and can lift them up to the Lord there quietly in your seats while she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, we are so thankful that as we have been enjoying the beginnings of the summer, we give you thanks for the beauty that's just all over, all around us, and for the refreshment and recreation that it provides, that we can rest in Sabbath like we talked about last week. And we offer you thanks for the communities that we live in and our family and friends and neighbors. And Lord, we do lift up all of those to you, Lord. May your love touch the depths of their needs and lives as we interact with them throughout the weeks. And we're grateful and thankful for the many joys that we get to enjoy and celebrate because of our connections with family and friends and neighbors. Lord, we also celebrate the life of your church. Lord, not only universal, but also here local, our own community of faith as we worship and witness, Lord, may you strengthen our faith in you and challenge us to walk in the love that you've called us to and as Jesus embodied, and continue to awaken us to the opportunities to serve you in the various ways. And Lord, give us courage to be a blessing to those that we may come in contact with, especially when we know of people that are facing crisis or situations of deep need, Lord, and we're thankful for that. Not only have we brought before you our neighbors and family and friends, but Lord, we think about nations and peoples around the world who are facing ongoing conflict and violence, and those who are facing homelessness and so many things, and Lord, places that have been turned upside down because of nature's unpredictable forces, Lord. We pray that you would grant courage and resilience in the midst of those challenges and inspire hope, Lord, to minister to those and to grant grace for times of need. Lord, help us not to overlook those who are hurting or in need when we see the needs arise. And Lord, as those that have been mentioned today, we especially think of them, Lord, that are hurting or in need and in need of your healing touch or your grace or strength and faith, whatever it may be, Lord, we just ask for your touch upon so many of them, Lord, as we think about for Chris, Lord, who's recovering from surgery, but also is battling depression at this time, as during this recovery time, we ask for your grace and strength. We pray for Colton and his the Spanish class as they are traveling and will be heading home here soon at the beginning of this week. May you be with them and give them traveling mercies. And we think about others, Lord, that are traveling, the Robbins family and others in our own community of faith that are traveling, that you will be with them. We pray for Steve, Lord, as he goes in for this next neck procedure this week. God, that you would guide and direct and extend your healing touch. Lord, we pray for Rob, Lord, who's recovering but has surgery later this week to remove that stent, Lord, that you'll just guide. Lord, we lift up my cousin Steve, who's having so many health issues there. We just ask for your healing touch for him and strength, Lord. We pray for Jim Oates, Lord, is recovering from this heart surgery, God, for your healing touch and strength for him, Lord, and in the days and weeks ahead, Lord. Lord, we pray for the Schmiesling family with the loss of this loved one, Lord. We ask for your comfort, your grace, and your touch there. We pray for the Brandt family and the other family farm that was mentioned there, the loss of this barn and and property and the horses and so much there, God. What a devastating loss. And we just ask for your grace right now and your comfort and your people of faith that will surround them and support them and be there to help in this time of need. And Lord, we do lift up our nation, Lord. We are so grateful and thankful as we saw a few days ago, earlier in the week, as we reflected and thought about again the men and women who landed on that beach in Normandy or parachuted in and to fight against the Nazi regime and bring freedom to Europe, God, and so much of everything that we've tried to stand for as a nation. And God, we pray that you would heal us. Heal our land of its greed and power, Lord. So much when we hear about politics and corporations and different things, Lord, the greed and politics or the greed and all of that, Lord, has just become an epidemic and trying to control people's lives. And God, help us never to forget about the freedoms that we have. And thank you for our nation, God. And we pray that you would bring healing to our nation and remind us of what you called us to be in this world and as an example. And we're thankful and grateful for that. Lord, we think about our shut-ins. We think about those on our monthly calendar, Lord, our prayer list. So many of them have such serious needs. We just lift them up to you, asking for healing and strength. We think about our men and women that are serving around the world in our armed forces and our local first responders, Lord, through the fire departments and rescue and paramedics and police and sheriffs and so many of the different ones, God. And we pray that you will watch over them and keep them all safe and give them that resilience that they need. We thank you for all of these things today. We ask your blessing upon the rest of this time as we break the bread of your word. May it feed our souls, encourage us, and strengthen us for our journeys ahead. And also, as we celebrate at the table today, Lord, may you just extend your love, your peace, your healing, your grace. God, whatever anyone needs here today, may you just extend it into us as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, that we might go forth in strength to serve you in all that we do, as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And again, thank you for your faithfulness, and it continues the work of the ministry through this local church and out into our community and world, and we are very thankful and grateful for all that God has blessed us with. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. The growth around us in field and garden speak of your abundant love, O God. May what we offer this day spread that abundance forth. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from our lectionary epistle reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses, chapter 4, verse 7 through chapter 5, verse 4. You can follow along. But we have this treasure in clay pots so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. We always carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We have the same faithful spirit as what is written in Scripture. I had faith, and so I spoke. We also have faith, and so we also speak. We do this because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus, and he will bring us into his presence along with you. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude to increase, which will result in God's glory. So we aren't depressed. But even if our bodies are breaking down on the outside, the person that we are on the inside is being renewed every day. Our temporary minor problems are producing an eternal stockpile of glory for us that is beyond all comparison. We don't focus on the things that we can see, but on the things we can't see or can't be seen. The things that can be seen don't last, but the things that can't be seen are eternal. We know that if the tent that we live in on earth is torn down, we have a building from God. It's a house that isn't handmade, which is eternal and located in heaven. We groan while we live in this residence. We really want to dress ourselves with our building from heaven, since we assume that when we take off this tent, we won't find out that we are naked. Yes, while we are in this tent, we groan because we are weighed down. We want to be dressed and not undressed, so that what is dying can be swallowed up by life. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, a pastor was talking to 8-year-olds in a Sunday school class about things that money can't buy. He said, it can't buy laughter. He went on, that comes from the soul, and it can't buy love. Well, driving his point home, he said, what would you do if I offered you $1,000 not to love your mother and father? A few minutes of silence went by, and as the boys and girls were kind of trying to think about that, and then a small voice said in the background, how much would you give me not to love my big sister? There you go this morning. How many of you have, I want to talk to you this morning about what do you see? What do you see? How many of you have seen those pictures that have several images of them at the same time? So look at it, blink a couple times and look again. How many pictures do you see in there? Probably 3 or 4, I would say. You seeing them? The cougar, the whatever that is, a bird, the face of the lady. Maybe I'm missing, there might be more. Or how about this? I'm going to switch it out. I know you're still looking. I love these. My grandma had, does anybody remember the little penny saver newspaper that used to come to your house years ago? Every time my grandma got one of those, I wanted to open it up because there was two, what seemed like identical pictures, and you had to find the differences. You see them? Where's my little thing here? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Let me see if I got my, I guess I should get it the right way. There we go. Right here you can see the difference. It's right here versus here. You can see these leaves are turned around. There's 10 of them, by the way, in there. Sorry I didn't make copies of them for you, but yeah. Now, these are all about what we see when we look at them. What we see when we look at them. Well, by the time Paul had written 2 Corinthians, he had faced a lot of hardships related to his ministry and life that resulted in physical wear on his body. I think we're all familiar with that, don't we, as we get older. And as a result, Paul reflects a little bit on that in our reading today, and on his mortality and the frail bodies that we live in that he calls earthen pots, earthenware, clay pots, depending on which translations you read, clay vessels. But he also talks about the inner renewal that is underway in us by God's grace. In all of these things, Paul declares at least twice, we do not lose heart in the midst of this. We do not lose heart. We do not shrink back from carrying on. He says, I keep going on preaching the gospel and doing my missions and ministry. And I think that's true for us, that even though at times our bodies are wearing down and they're not what they used to be, we press on in life. You have to. You have to. And as a result, as I read this week, I think Paul offers us two things that help us to carry on in the midst of the hardships that we have to go through sometimes in life. And it all deals with how we see our situations. So two things I want to talk to you about. First of all, here's the first thing I think is a key that Paul shares here. Refusing to focus on our troubles. Have you ever met those people that every time you get around them, that's all they can talk about? They talk about how bad life is, how bad their situation is, how bad America is, how bad this, that, or whatever. That's all they seem to be focused on and talk about. And if you sit there and listen to them, guess what you will start to feel? You will feel the same way. I've shared this before. God bless her. She's probably been gone a long time now. There's this little lady at the first church I pastored, and she had not come back since I had started, and some folks, I didn't even know she was a part of the church, said, why don't you go talk to her and see if you can get her to come back? But they all said, when you go over there, don't get sucked in, because she is like, and all I can say is this. How many of you remember, and I've shared this before, on Hee Haw, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa. That, they all warned me that that is her. By golly, I went over there, and within 10 minutes, I thought the life was being sucked out of me. Yeah. And because that's all she could see, and that's all she could focus on. And so here's what I think, it's just pretty blunt. I think Paul is telling us, don't fixate on hardships. Now, we all know that when we face hardships, it's gonna be on our mind. We'll pray about it. We might even talk to somebody. Some of you sometimes come and talk to me about it, or whatever it may be. But if you fixate on that, that's all you will see. Here's an interesting thing. From the whole two letters of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul was quite familiar with hardships. Listen to this. This is just from some of the letters he wrote in the New Testament. Paul faced hunger. Paul faced confusion. Paul faced distress. Paul faced homelessness. Paul faced a lack of proper clothing. Paul was caught in the midst of riots, afflictions, verbal abuses, persecution, death threats, beatings, imprisonments, humiliation, sleepless nights, stonings, shipwrecks, dangers. And in Galatians, he says he was having trouble with his eyesight. Now, I know we go through problems in our lives, but I don't think any of us have ever faced all of that. And we may not face everything Paul did, but here he reflects in our reading today on his mortality and his declining existence, which he calls our bodies breaking down. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? So when I got into my early 50s, I started talking with some of my nephews, and since there's like I'm almost 60, a couple more years, and my oldest brother's 75, and I was an uncle when I was 2. And so when I started talking with a few of my nephews who were just getting into their 40s, and they were talking about how things in their body weren't working, and I'm like, whew. All I could think of in my head at that moment is, whew, I'm glad I'm not the only one that's facing this. You know, there's somebody younger than me that's facing it. You know, when things just don't work. And we understand that, but here's the thing I think Paul is trying to say is this. Don't let our troubles get us down. We can fixate on it and become overwhelming. Now, no doubt. Oh, no. Whew, I thought I lost my message for a second there. About scared me. No doubt, hardships can be quite discouraging and challenging at times. But Paul reminds the church here several times, do not lose heart. And then he gives himself as a person an example. God has not abandoned me. And that's after telling us everything he went through. He says, God has not abandoned me. And I believe that because God has not abandoned us. The misery and pain we see and face in this world won't last forever, Paul says. He says those things are temporary. They're only around for a while. So don't focus on those troubles. So what are we to do then instead? Well, obviously, keep God before us. Or if you want to say keep focus on God, you can do that. And he says a couple things here. I could have maybe shared more, but I want to focus on two. First of all, he talks about being grateful for what God is doing in us, in each of you. So, reading what Paul said, in spite of our fragile existence, God has put within us a great treasure, the glory of God in Christ. Now, glory is an Old Testament term that speaks of God's presence. And it's overwhelming. It's wonderful. It's just, if you've ever experienced God's presence, it's the most unique thing in the world. It can be overwhelming, but it can be the most peaceful thing at the same time. I cannot describe it any other way. It's just, it's a great treasure. I think Paul used the right word, that is in us. And he says that that treasure in us results in us being able to have a faithful spirit to keep going on. And he says not only that, but there's increasing grace that's available for us every day. And then he talks about that even though our outer nature, our bodies are breaking down, inside we are being renewed every day. And sometimes I think we forget that, and Paul shares that with the church at Corinth because it gave him hope going through everything he faced and helped shape his response to the despair that he saw and the trials that he faced. So being grateful is one of the ways for what God is doing in us that we keep God before us. And then this other part of it is envision what God has in store for us. That's another way we keep God before us. Paul speaks of two things that God has in store for us. One is this eternal glory, and two is this resurrection body that he refers to as a building from God. So he talks about our present body as a tent that can easily get torn down. But we have a building from God that's made in the heavens and that's standing secure, that is going to be ours one day. Now, we tend to associate our present body's glitches with getting older, don't we? But as I was talking to the kids this morning, young people's bodies are fragile too. I remember when Chase broke the tiniest little bone in one of his middle toes from soccer when somebody stepped on him with the cleats. Of all things, that little tiny, and the pain that he was in that moment. Here's what I want you to see. In spite of our frail existence, each of us carry God's glory and love in us because of Christ. As humans, we experience afflictions, confusion, and various troubles in life. Even as Christians, some of those things can even get us down. Yet Paul encourages us not to lose heart by refusing to focus not on what we just see every day, but to keep God before us. What do you see? I didn't put it back up there, but if you could go back to that picture, what do you see? Do you only see the bad that is happening in your life or world? Or do you see what God is doing in us and what God has in store for us? And by the way, God doesn't just have something in store for us Christians. If you read Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 15, God has something in store for the entire world to restore it. So, do you see the bad? Or do you see what God is doing in us and what God has in store? When we see what God is doing, it will encourage us to keep on worshiping and keep on serving God. What do you see? Amen and amen. Okay, we are going to go ahead and prepare our hearts for communion this morning. And as we do, we often join together to offer our thanksgiving and confession to the Lord. And we want to do that this morning. So let's begin if you would like to pray along with us there together. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for your presence in our midst as we worship. We thank you for sending Jesus to live among us. We remember his sacrifice and all we have who have followed his way of love. As we come to the table, may this bread and juice nourish us to be the best versions of ourselves, for you seek to transform us into your new creations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we receive of that today, that new creation work of renewing us day by day. And not only is that happening, but to remind ourselves that is happening in our lives every day because of Jesus. Thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be helping us out this morning with communion if they would begin to make their way as we are going to share at the table this morning. On the night in which Jesus was handed over, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Later, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, we're kind of going over a little bit. Just turn around and shake a couple hands for some that are real close to you. And then we'll go ahead and close with our little chorus there, "Oh, the glory," this morning. Well, if you can, stand with me as we sing it a couple times. Oh, the glory of your presence, we your temple give. Your embrace as your of your presence. We, your temple, give you reverence. So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace. As your presence now fills this place. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Keep your eyes open as we walk in God's world. May the God of grace, the Christ of peace, and the Spirit who gives life go with us each day. Amen.